Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy Hanukkah, too. It's good to be with you, as always. It's good to continue to be with you, and I'm excited about telling you that Steve Forbes is back on the show once again, and all of you know who Steve is. Steve's editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, president of Forbes, former presidential candidate two different times, the author of the new book, one of my favorite books, and a book that I hope finds a lot of resonance in American public and politics, Flat Tax Revolution. And Steve is a person who has decided that it's more fun being a political agitator than it is being a political candidate. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Jim. How are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you back, as always. And are you still having fun being an agitator?
Oh, just getting started. And with the elections coming up next year and the big one in 2008, there's going to be plenty of opportunity.
A lot of work to do, right?
Exactly. A lot of educating.
Steve, your office is right there in Manhattan. Your beautiful offices. I've been there, and I think about you and all the other people in Manhattan over the last few days during the transit strike. And how much of a challenge was it for your folks during those 3 days?
Well, it was a challenge, especially those who had to come a distance. They had very real restrictions on travel. A lot of people did a lot of walking. Thankfully, the weather held up.
Yep.
But a lot of merchants got hurt by it, both in getting people in and customers.
I'm so upset for the small business owners of Manhattan who lost a wonderful opportunity. Those 4 days were so important to their year, wasn't it?
It was, and it's almost impossible to make up for it. It's one thing to lose days in the summer or any other time of year, but this is the time of year where you really make it. And each day lost is, most of that is just sales lost.
It was an illegal strike, wasn't it?
It was. It was against the law. And other unions in the city, and teachers, police, fire, sanitation, they've had contracts expire. But the understanding was you'd continue to negotiate and there'd be no strikes. You could work without a contract, but you would not go on strike.
What would Mayor Forbes or Governor Forbes have done during those 3 days?
I think the mayor did a fairly decent job. They got put out incentives for the cabs to work the streets 24 hours a day, which helped a little bit. But I think the key thing is that they levy the fines on the union.
Mm-hmm.
They make the fines stick.
You have to collect them.
Something like that, you pay a price for it.
Right. Well, you know, Steve Malanga with the Manhattan Institute, you may know Steve, wrote a book called The New Left, How American Politics Works Today. And he talks about how in the major cities across the country, these union members have become a majority in those cities. And he says it's dangerous.
Well, the thing is, it is dangerous, but this union overplayed its hand. And they got some nominal backing from the other unions, but I think one of the reasons the strike ended as quickly as it did was that the other unions made it very clear: you guys are going to wreck everything. We have a very good thing going. You're going to hurt it.
Mm-hmm. I think overplayed their hand is a great way to say it, Steve. And I hope that this will back off some of them in the future. Steve, let's move over and talk about flat tax. One of my favorite topics. I know it's one of your favorite topics. When did you first started talking about flat tax?
It was about a little over 20 years ago. In the early 1980s, two economists at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, Hall and Rabushka, came out with a book. They did a real study on it. Milton Friedman had come up with a basic idea back in the 1960s. So it was in the early 1980s. It seemed like a great way to simplify the code, which was then a monstrosity, even more today, and get maximum incentives for the economy. It's like getting a, you know, an 800-pound gorilla off your back.
Right. Well, on the cover of your new book, Flat Tax Revolution, which, by the way, is new out now, folks, and I encourage you to pick up a copy. You talk about, and that's the subtitle, Using a Postcard to Abolish the IRS, and you're sitting there holding, you're leaning on a stack of IRS code books and holding about a 5x8 card. Can we really do that?
Oh, absolutely. And a number of other countries have done it. 10 countries in Central and Eastern Europe have done it. Even the New York Times the other day, Jim ran a story about Estonia, a little country in Europe, a former communist country. Mm-hmm. And the prime minister was effusive about it, even had very nice things to say about me. And the amazing thing was the New York Times printed his nice
That is amazing. Congratulations. Do you think that they felt like they've gone over to the dark side, Steve, by telling that story? Maybe, Steve, maybe there is hope. You know, hope springs eternal. You know about that, don't you? Stand by. Quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Steve Forbes, the author of the brand new book, Flat Tax Revolution. Folks, this book could change the way you and I pay our taxes, which I think would be a good thing. 20 Tales, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and wishing you a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. Steve Forbes is our guest. He's the author of Flat Tax Revolution, a book I highly recommend to you folks. Steve, I want America to know about this because it's going to take a grassroots movement, isn't it? It's going to take everybody in America looking at this, at the fact that this could actually work, and believing that, and getting that across to the members of their delegation, their congressional delegation, because tax revenue, the tax system, I should say, the tax code, is a form of a drug for our politicians, and the only way we're going to get them to kick that habit is if they think we're going to kick them out if they don't change it. What do you think?
That's exactly right, and that's why I have a chapter in the book, Flat Tax Revolution, that talks about how people can get involved through radio, through blogs, through writing letters, through calling their representatives, getting up petitions and the like. Because left to their own devices, the code's just going to get worse and worse. In the last 20 years, Jim, the code has been amended 14,000 times, 3 million words added, and just gets worse and worse. They can't help themselves. So unless these politicians know their jobs are on the line, it will be business as usual.
Well, you know, Steve, well said, by the way, back in, what was it, 98, when there was a big push to reform the tax code, 98 or 99, I've forgotten, maybe 2000, I did quite a few shows on that. I interviewed a number of members of Congress, Billy Tozen and others, who were pushing the national sales tax or the value-added tax or whatever. And in those days, I didn't really have that much of a hadn't quite made a decision. But the more I heard talk to these folks, including the flat tax folks, the more I talked to them, I realized that anything but a flat tax, what it actually did was create anything other than a flat tax created a new tax, a brand new tax, and didn't get rid of an old tax. And to me, Steve, I felt that was like giving a new drug to an addict.
Well, you're exactly right. And you've seen what's happened in countries like Canada and countries in Europe. They kept the income tax, and they kept, obviously, added the value-added tax or general services tax, a sales tax.
Yep.
And guess what? You get hit from both sides.
Absolutely. When I travel in Europe and I ask them about their taxes, they all have a VAT tax on top of sales tax, on top of property tax, on top of everything else, and it just gets out of hand. Steve, is there any kind of a date? Is there any kind of a moment that we need to be pushing toward? Is there any kind of an event or anything that's out there in the future that we should be focusing on to really really push this flat tax idea?
I think with the election season coming up, it would be a very good time to call your representative, ask to talk to their tax specialist, mention that you're a member of their constituency, member of their district, and say you're interested in tax reform, and you want to know where they stand, want to know why more hasn't been done. And if enough people start to do it, by golly, these folks will start to pay attention. And one of the things that we're doing in a state like New Hampshire is that every candidate who comes up there, their group of activists up there, are asking them specifically, what are you doing about this horrific tax code? So with an election coming up, that's when these people start to pay attention. Mm-hmm. That's where you got to get it right in front of them.
And maybe we need to be getting this message to the candidates too, the challengers. Maybe that's how we get some of these people in Congress, is we elect some challengers who are flat tax believers. You know, Steve, when I think about changing the tax code and how people feel about it, about changing the tax code, maybe it's impossible to do. I think about how they train elephants to stay tethered to a rope. You know that story, don't you?
Yes.
they tie the baby elephant up, and he can't pull the stake out. And when he weighs 10 tons, he still believes he can't pull the stake out. If we believe we can't change tax reform, we're mistaken, aren't we?
You're exactly right. People tend to think of the taxes like the weather. You can talk about it, complain about it, shelter yourself from it, but you can't do anything about the weather itself. It's not true of the tax code. There's a lot that we can do, but politicians count on our passivity, and that's what we got to get over.
Absolutely, and you're doing that with your book, and I congratulate you. Flat Tax Revolution. Steve, can they buy that at your website, Forbes.com?
They can buy it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Forbes.com. They can do it. We have a connecting link.
All right.
So, yes, the book is out there. A lot of bookstores has it, and the key is, get it, read it. It's simply written, and get active. Only
Absolutely.
A few minutes a month would make a huge difference.
And we're going to continue to talk about this too, Steve, because I want to get back on the revolution, tax revolution movement myself. Steve, let's change subjects and talk about the Patriot Act. There's been a lot of debate in the last few days over the Patriot Act. Steve, has politicians in their zeal for power, have they actually made us less safe than we were before?
Well, I think a lot of politicians, to be charitable, have forgotten what happened on September 11th 4 years ago. And they are playing politics with this thing. The fact that we haven't had a major attack, knock on wood, since then, I think is a tribute to partially to the effectiveness of the act, to the fact that we have done a far better job on intelligence. And our enemies are working around the clock to do us in. And I think in this democracy of ours, we've demonstrated in the past, we take extraordinary measures to meet an extraordinary emergency. This democracy is strong, but to gut the acts that we've done since 2001, including the Patriot Act, is just so bloody incredible short-sightedness.
We are at war, aren't we? And I'm not talking about the one in Iraq either. It's the war on terror. We are at war, aren't we, Steve?
It's similar to the Cold War. It's going to be a long, drawn-out thing, and the thing can be won. But it's not going to be won by people who are faint of heart. We need hawks, not squawks.
Yes, exactly. I like that. I'm going to wrap up this segment on that one. That's well said. Quick break. Right back with Steve Forbes. When we come back, I'm going to ask Steve about what his thoughts are on the emerging democracy in Iraq and what he thinks you and I will be seeing as small business owners in 2006. Tintail, stay with us. Merry Christmas. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm not sure. Steve Forbes is our guest, by the way, folks. Steve is editor-in-chief of Forbes Magazine and president of Forbes, the author of Flat Tax Revolution, a book I highly recommend to you. And, Steve, isn't that song like the number one selling song of all time?
I believe it is and has been for decades.
Who wrote that? Didn't Mel Torme write that? Who was it that wrote that? I've forgotten. It seems like I used to know who wrote that. Made a lot of money, didn't they? And Forbes.com is the website, right?
That's right.
And it has the distinction of being a profitable website, as I remember, Steve.
You're exactly right. The last year and a half, it's done extremely well. Revenues were up this year over 70%.
Congratulations. I remember when you were on the show right after you first posted a profit. You were pretty excited about it. And well, you should have. Well, you should have been, Steve. Well, let's talk.
For a while, I thought it was legal that these things make money.
Exactly. You know, I remember business plans that in the 90s that forecasted a profit, and the venture capitalists said, "We don't want a deal like that. What's wrong with you?" Steve, let's talk about the emerging democracy in Iraq. Have you ever been as proud of anybody in your life as you are of the Iraqis and the coalition of partners who have helped to develop this democracy?
Well, when you think of the composition of Iraq, three very distinct communities, often at war with one another, what has been achieved has been amazing. And I think we have to prepare ourselves that there are going to be a lot of haggling, a lot of fighting in the months ahead. But they've come a long, long ways. And the critics and the skeptics who thought this thing could never happen have a lot of explaining to do. And I think even the Sunni community in Iraq is beginning to realize it's better to do it through ballots than bullets.
Well, and here's what keeps happening. Two things have happened the last 2 months that I thought was really an important bellwether of things to come. One was about 2 months ago, some Sunnis decided they were going to sue over something they weren't happy about. I thought, isn't it great? They're going to sue. I mean, it's the only time in my life, Steve, I was happy somebody decided to sue. And then this week, Sunnis are protesting something. Now, they're not fighting. They're not blowing people up. They're protesting. Isn't that great?
It shows what a difference a democracy can be. And
yeah.
As much as we complain about our problems here, just look at what happens in the rest of the world when you don't have those kind of institutions that can deal with conflicts.
One of the things we've done on this show for the last 2 years, Steve, is interview people on the ground in Iraq who are over there helping them build that economy. Every 5 or 6 weeks or so, we interview a different person, somebody over there. We've interviewed half a dozen folks who've told us what's really going on in Iraq, which is different from what you hear on CNN, for example.
Well, that's right. They have an economy that's growing. They've had a property boom of sorts. Their problems are very basic ones, like shortage of electricity. They have a flat tax in Iraq as well. And it's a story nobody ever sees because it's not graphic when you have an improving economy. It's numbers, not violence.
So what you're saying is in at least one way, we're behind Iraq, aren't we? We have to take a back seat to Iraq, aren't we? Steve,
we have something to learn from there.
Exactly. We need to learn some things from Iraq. Well, I know you as I do, Steve, you join me in sending out a wonderful Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And best wishes to all of our men and women wearing a uniform around the world.
Absolutely. They are the true heroes of our era.
No question about it. And if you meet any of them, you'll see what we mean. Steve, 2006 is almost here. Look into your crystal ball there. You have an excellent one. And tell us what you think small business owners are going to be seeing in 2006.
I think we're going to see a vibrant economy in 2006. Two worries that I think we got to look at. One is what's going to happen to those tax cuts that were passed 3 years ago? Will they be extended? That's going to be get more and more important as the months go by. The other thing is the Fed going to finally fight this inflation? They've been raising interest rates, but they've still been printing too much money.
Yep.
It means that costs are going to go up, which hurts profit margins. And the sooner the Fed gets that out of the way, I think the stronger we're going to and happier we're going to be. But they haven't done it yet. I hope this new guy that comes in, Bernanke, gets this excess money mopped up so that those rates can start to come down again.
So on the whole, you're pretty bullish on 2006.
I'm bullish, and just as if we just get this inflation bugaboo out of the way,
right.
Boy, then we're going to roar.
So the expansion will continue, according to Steve Forbes. Steve, Merry Christmas. Thank you for all that you do for the marketplace, for this country, and for small businesses. We appreciate it very much.
Jim, thank you.
And we'll see you next time. Merry Christmas. Steve Forbes, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and I want to say Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. I'll see you next week. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.